Cave Zombies Radio, Invicta FC 8. Here we go. Let's do this.
Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zuffa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to a wonderful Thursday evening here at Cave Zombies Radio. We are pumped. We are excited. We are sitting here from 6 to midnight. We're all sitting around with a bunch of chubbies because we are ready for a phenomenal episode of this phenomenal show this evening. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Spencer Kirksey. Spencer, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Matthew. Been really excited about this episode ever since you kind of put it together. What a great episode we have. I'll let you talk about that. But first, we have a special guest host tonight. She's always welcome on Cage Zombies Radio. Kari, how are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. I'm jacked up for this episode. It's going to be amazing tonight.
Yeah, you know, this is something that we had wanted to do for a while and that we worked real hard to put together. It was a lot of teamwork here. A great job getting this together. But, yeah, so we're going to start the night off here. We're going to talk first. First, we're talking all Invicta Fighting Championships tonight. Invicta FC 8 goes down next Saturday. It's the debut of Invicta on the UFC Fight Pass. It is a huge, monumentous thing for women's MMA that this is taking place. You know, my feelings right off the bat were kind of mixed on this UFC Fight Pass Invicta deal. I think this is a phenomenal thing for Invicta. I think this is a phenomenal thing for women's MMA. And I am beyond excited for Invicta to make their return and to see the amazing things that are going to happen from here on out for Invicta. But tonight we're talking all Invicta FC 8, which goes down September 6th. We're going to start the night off with Shannon Knapp, the president, CEO, the person behind the magic of Invicta Fighting Championships. From there, we're going to talk with my friend, my girl, one of my favorite people in the sport, Delaney Owen, making her Invicta debut next Saturday after already putting together a real swift and real quick 2-0 pro record. From there, we're going to talk with the karate hottie, the atomweight champion of Invicta Fighting Championships. That is none other than Michelle Watterson. And then we're going to close the night out with Charmaine Not-So-Sweet Tweet, another one of Invicta's bright young stars. Just a phenomenal night. I don't even know where to begin on how great it's going to be. Real quick, before we get rolling into Invicta, because we want to be able to dedicate the night to Invicta, just want to give a couple quick shout-outs to some events taking place around the globe this weekend. Let me first start with our sponsors. Our sponsors, we got a phenomenal team of sponsors over at AOL MMA, Valley Auto Auction, Brawl Base, Crossroader Clothing, All Out Fight Shop, Game Changer Clothing, Persist Headwear, Pro-Am Belts, Jax Media Canada, and, of course, the oh-so-wonderful Intimidation Clothing, IntimidationClothing.com, Impose Your Will. Check them out. Great gear. Love it. Wear it all the time. Now, with that said, Fight Time 20, which takes place tomorrow night, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, going down to the War Memorial Auditorium, phenomenal professional event put on by Fight Time Promotions. Main event, Jeff the Snowman Monson versus Kevin Brooks. Co-main event, Mike the Wolverine Rio versus Frank Carrillo. Orlando Santana, Frederico Moncayo. Looking down this. Jenny Silverio, a very, very phenomenal young fighter, making her second pro fight there against Sarah Langerstrom. That's going down again. Fort Lauderdale, Florida, War Memorial Auditorium. That's Fight Time 20. Find out all the info at FightTimePromotions.com. Now, I know Spencer wants to talk real quick about 1FC, so Spencer, go ahead and do that, buddy.
you know, 1FC is going down, and it's actually only a few hours away. The online pay-per-view is going to start at 7 a.m. That's in Dubai. This is 1FC 19, Reign of Champions. I know Matthew and I were talking about how we love how they still name their events. UFC used to do that.
Yes, absolutely.
Reign of Champions name. It's headlined by three title fights, the first of which is Koji Oishi. If you haven't seen this guy fight, he's just all over the place. He's fighting, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this correctly, but Neratungalag. That's for the featherweight title.
Jesus.
The welterweight title's on the line. Nabutatsu Suzuki is taking on Ben Askren. Obviously, Ben Askren, the former welterweight champion of Bellator. That fight's going to get a lot of attention. And then the main event, you can't have a 1FC card without this guy. If he's able to fight, you got to put him in. Shinya Aoki against Kamal Shalarus for the lightweight title. And I have to say, they usually feed Aoki some pretty easy opponents. This one is definitely not easy. Kamal Shalarus, very veteran in the sport, so that's going to be an interesting fight to watch once again. That's online pay-per-view starting at 7 a.m. You can go to their website to view that.
Yeah, right on. And let's see, you know, Bellator is not that far around the corner as well. September 5th, Bellator 123 takes place next weekend. It's going to be the return of Bellator under the new regime, so make sure you check that out. Obviously, they'll be live on Spike. Our good friend Matt Cutman Martson will be back there working the fights. Looking forward to seeing him, Cage Shot, and looking forward to see Bellator back. So make sure to check out Bellator 23. Also, real quick, and lastly, before we move on to just talking all Invicta, is the UFC debut of the future UFC Bantamweight champion, none other than Anthony Burchak, making his debut this weekend at UFC 177 against Joe Sato. Fight did get moved up to Fox Sports 1, so you don't have to have the fight pass just yet, although, hey, it might not hurt to go ahead and get that fight pass hooked up, get all the kinks worked out so that it's good to go by next weekend to watch Invicta 8. So it's definitely not a bad idea. But to watch Burchak, all you got to do is turn on Fox Sports 1. It's going to be the first fight right off the bat. I think he's fighting sometime around 5 or 6 p.m. So definitely make sure to check that out. Burchak, I'm calling it now. Within five fights, he's fighting for the UFC Bantamweight title. That's what I'm saying. So otherwise, other than that, UFC 177, I don't care too much about. I'd like to see TJ Dillashaw go ahead defend his defend that title and beat Henan Burrell again. Although I don't really have stake in either guy, so I just want to see a good fight. But to be honest with you, I probably won't even end up watching all the fights. I'm going to make sure I see Burchak. I want to watch that fight. Outside of that, this isn't even really anything that I'm all that interested in. This fight card. I don't know about you guys.
I'm actually kind of interested for two reasons. Obviously, Anthony Burchak, we had him on the show last week. If you missed that interview, make sure you go back on MMAMadhouse.com, check the archives. You can listen in on that. But also, the UFC debut of Henry Cejudo, against Scott Jorgensen. Henry was on the Olympic team with Cormier and all of them. They're still undefeated at this point, so this is a big UFC debut for him. Scott Jorgensen is not an easy opponent. And then as far as TJ Dillashaw versus Henan Burrell, I don't know about you guys, but I'm actually going to go with Burrell here. I think this is going to be a trilogy. I think Burrell's going to win this one, and then the final fight, I think Dillashaw's going to take it back.
Oh, very nice. I like that pick, but I'm actually going with Dillashaw. I like the idea of a trilogy, but Dillashaw is definitely my choice for this one.
Right on. Again, make sure you check that out. Fox Sports 1 will be the prelims. Don't miss Anthony Burchak, because you can't even blink. If you blink, you're going to miss this guy. So definitely want to make sure you watch that. He's seriously going to do some big things in the UFC, man. Just beyond excited that this has come together, that the UFC picked him up, that he was available, that they could actually go out and get him. And it's cool. So I'm excited for Burchak. I'm excited for him and his family, for Mercedes. She works around the clock for Anthony and for the family and stuff. So he's an awesome dude. They're an awesome team. Looking forward to seeing some really awesome stuff from them. So very excited there. Now we're going to transition as we get ready to bring in Invicta FC owner operator, the phenomenal Shannon Knapp. You know, when Invicta kind of kicked off, back in, I want to say 2012 was the debut of Invicta. That's right, in 2012, you know, her and Janet Martin started this thing. It was very innovative. You know, there's been international all-women's promotions, and you know what, I think we already got her live, so let's go ahead and bring her. Now we're going to go ahead and introduce Shannon Knapp, owner-president of Invicta Fighting Championships. Shannon, how are you doing this evening, ma'am?
Oh, I'm doing great, and how are you guys doing?
Doing phenomenal. I want to thank you for joining us here. This is the first time that I've had the pleasure of interviewing you, and I have to say that when Invicta came out, you know, this I think was probably one of the best things that's happened to the sport of MMA overall since a unified set of rules. Before this, the ladies had only had slim opportunities throughout other promotions kind of around the world. There, you know, there's been some international all-ladies promotions like Jewel. I forget the name of it, but the promotion that preceded Jewel. But Invicta really kind of took that to the next level and put them on this new stage and made it more global. You guys brought it here to the U.S. and you did such a great thing early on, and in just 7 events to kind of really take women's MMA to the level that you guys have taken it, I think is something that without a promotion like Invicta, I don't think we'd be having this conversation. So I think that what you guys have done so far is just vital and pivotal for the growth of women's MMA.
Well, thank you. That's very, very kind of you to say. You know, we can't take all the credit. You know, it's certainly we have to put the credit back where it belongs as well. It's been the performances of the athletes. I mean, they're really the standouts in this story.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, you've had pretty much the biggest names and best fighters and young fighters and all level of ladies fighters have graced the Invicta cage thus far. You know, in just 7 events, you've had the who's who of women's MMA. You know, how did you, in such a short time, be able to gain that much attention and that much notoriety to be able to pull in these big-name fighters from all over the world to come fight for your promotion?
Well, you know that old saying when they say build it and they will come? You know, it truly was that scenario where this sport was just lacking a platform, a place for, you know, female athletes to really call home. You know, a platform that really catered to them and that they, you know, I always say it like this, so don't take it offensively, but they weren't in the muddied waters with the men. You know, this was actually a place that they could get that spotlight that, you know, I think they deserved. So I think that's, you know, that old saying, build it and they will come. I think that's kind of what happened.
Yeah. Now with the signing of Invictus to UFC Fight Pass, before that took place, I know that there was kind of some other rumors, some other talks of some places you might go as far as, you know, televising the fights, making them more readily available. What all was the availability that you have, and what was kind of the final touches needed to get this deal signed with the UFC Fight Pass?
You know, I did have conversations with others, and some, you know, just weren't pulling the trigger fast enough. And, you know, after the second time of crashing, you know, different companies' paywall servers, you know, we had to make a decision here to find a stable home. And, you know, I started the conversations with the UFC in regards to Fight Pass, and it was a very painless deal. As you know, we structured it out. They were incredibly respectful and very supportive. So, you know, and it just all came together. So, you know, that was a big deal for me. And, you know, to be able to continue to provide the content worldwide, that was a huge, huge thing for me. You know, and there's a lot of networks you could be on here in America that you're not able, you know, still in other countries they're not seeing it. So this still fit, you know, it fit all of our needs and all the, you know, all the things that I wanted in a deal.
I know that with the signing with the UFC, with over Fight Pass, you had a lot of people that assuming that they had bought some portion of Invicta. And I know I've read several like articles where you've wanted to, you know, make it very clear that that is not the case. And I wanted to kind of get that platform now if you would like it to make that clear. I know that UFC, like you said, has been very respectful, but I also think that you should be able to make that perfectly clear to everyone that it's yours.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. You know, you know, one of the things that, you know, I'm very honored is this is the first time that, you know, they partnered with anyone, you know, in a promotion sense that they didn't own the company. So, you know, it's a very exciting time over here for us is, you know, to be given this opportunity. And no, absolutely, they do not own anything in Invicta. Invicta is Invicta and it's owned, you know, not by the UFC. They don't own a portion, not a smidgen, not enough. So, you know, I guess I can't make it more clear than that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
but no,
Shannon,
absolutely not.
Now, Shannon, we're a little over a week away from Invicta FC 8. Obviously, this is a huge fight card, the first one on Fight Pass. Tell us a little bit about what went into putting together this fight card, because obviously it's a great one.
Oh, thank you. You know, we've got the talent. You know, we've got the talent, and, you know, matching them up is easy because, you know, they're all very talented, very willing to step in at any time, you know, and they just want their shot. So, you know, when you have the talent, it's pretty easy to move the pieces around and make something great happen. That's the way I always look at it.
Now, obviously you've had double title fights before, but is this something that you specifically wanted to do because this is the debut on Fight Pass?
You know, I don't know if it has, you know, I mean, you always aspire to put on the best fight card that you possibly can. I think for me, there was, you know, there was something personal about it for me. You know, when the strawweights moved over to the UFC, I read, you know, I heard, I had so many people ask me, well, is this the end of Invicta? Because the strawweights are gone, you've lost the whole division, you know. And I would go out there and I'd say, listen, I can fill that division tomorrow. You know, people just don't understand that is the deepest weight class in the whole entire sport. And I look at it this way, we're a little top heavy. You know, we have such, you know, very talented athletes with a lot of experience, and there just really wasn't any room to start bringing in, you know, and continuing to help grow. So for me, you know, to put a title fight on, and a worthy title fight in that division, you know, and both of these athletes, Stephanie and Katja, have competed against, you know, some of the females that are in the Tough House and won. So this was kind of a statement match for me, you know, go out there and say, really? Did you really? If you didn't believe me, are you going to believe me now? You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's a great matchup. It's very much worthy of a title, you know, title shot. You know, I think either one of these athletes will be a great representative as, you know, a champion in that division.
Yeah, and to add on to what you said there about, you know, people wondering about the strawweight division, how a lot of the strawweights moved up to the UFC, and you saying, you know, you can fill this tomorrow. You know, you showed that by these two young fighters that you just signed that are kicking off Invicta FC 8 with J.J. Aldrich and Delaney Owen. Talk a little bit about what it was like finding them, bringing them in, and I personally think you did one of the smartest decisions by signing Delaney. This is a girl I know personally. She fights down here out of Tampa. I've seen her fight a few times. I love this girl. And I've always, you know, it's been for a while knowing that she was kind of ready for that next level. What's it like, though, to know that, well, yes, a lot of strawweights have moved up to the UFC, the strawweight division in women's MMA is so thick that you can easily turn around, go out, pack the division, and then, boom, you've got another great top contenders.
You know what's always the most exciting for me is to see these young athletes and how excited they are, you know, to fight under the Invicta banner. That, for me, you know, is the best thing out of all, is, you know, to see how excited and how much effort they put into getting here, you know, and you can, you know, when you talk to them, you can hear that excitement. And just knowing that, you know, that night when they step into that cage, they're there to show everybody why they're there. You know, why they're stepping into our cage. You know, that kind of passion, that excites me, you know, is to be able to give opportunities. That's what it's all about for me, is being able to give the young athletes the opportunities, you know, and the, you know, female athletes across the board.
Yeah, right on. Now, although I want, you know, we're focusing mainly on Invicta 8 tonight. I do have to ask about your signing today with Marine Babyface Reardon. How did that come about? That's another fighter that I'm big on. I'm a big fan of hers. I think she's awesome. We've had her on the show a couple times, and she's just a phenomenal, real phenomenal young talent. How did that come about, and what went into getting her part of Invicta?
You know, I think that, you know, it all comes back to the athlete. This is where she wants to be. You know, and I think that when you have an athlete that, like I said, once again, is very passionate about being here, you know, it makes it an easy decision, you know. So signing her, you know, it was that she wanted to be here, and we definitely feel like she's a good fit for us, you know. But over the next week or two, you're going to hear, you know, we probably signed maybe 13, 14 new athletes that you'll be hearing about. So
oh.
We'll make an announcement on that. Yeah. So,
I really hope to hear. I really hope to hear the name Amber Stauffenberger in those signings.
Well, we've been in stealth mode, so we've been over here signing athletes and, you know, getting some stuff done. And, you know,
right,
I think it's going to surprise quite a few people, some of the athletes that we're picking up. But they're all very talented. They all deserve a shot. And, you know, we're geared
awesome.
Up and we're ready.
Awesome.
Well, speaking of, you know, the possible spinning of your strawweight class, you are also, with this card, doing kind of a big thing. You're debuting your first lightweight bout. Is that exciting for you? And also, as far as these signings go, are you looking to build that weight class up as well?
Absolutely. You will see some new signings to that division. Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, our goal has always been, you know, from day one is to build depth in these divisions. And, you know, I said it a year ago that, you know, we would look at this division. So, you know, it didn't happen as fast as I would like it to, but, you know, definitely – you know, starting this division and starting to add athletes to that division, nobody else has it, you know. So it's kind of a cool thing to pioneer the way through that as well.
Now, with this fight card, obviously we mentioned the two title fights. They're going to be they're going to steal the show. They're going to be what everybody's kind of focused in on. But what to you is the fight to watch out for, the one that's going to surprise everyone?
Oh, you guys, I am so bad at this, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because if I mention one fight, I got to mention them all. So, you know, I can give each and every one of them. I mean, that's why they're on this card. I mean, if you want to talk about, let's word it differently. What's the fight that's got the most heat on it right now? Would definitely be Charmaine Tweet and Veronica Rothhauser. You know, there's a lot of heat on that fight, a lot of smack talk going back and forth. So, you know, you never know what that translates to down when, you know, when they step in the cage. But certainly that's, you know, a fight that I think people are looking forward to, for sure.
Now, you got the main event there with Michelle, the Karate Hottie Watterson, and Yasuko Tamada. Now, Yasuko obviously coming over from her days in the Jewels promotion over in Japan. This is a big fight. Talk a little bit about this. You know, Michelle making her first defense as the atomweight champion. And, you know, obviously Yasuko, quite the record, quite the reputation over in Japan. Talk a little bit about what this fight took coming together and what we should expect to see from this one.
You know, we have a great partnership with Jewel, you know, and, you know, all their athletes are very talented. And, you know, and they fight hard, you know, a lot of experience. So, you know, it wasn't hard to put the fight together. The matchup itself, I think, is a very competitive matchup. You know, Tamada's very tough. You know, as well as Michelle is. So I think it's going to be exciting to see Michelle get in there and defend her title. You know, she definitely says it's her title, and she's going to hang on to it. You know, and I'm sure that Tamada wants to take that belt back to Japan. You know, that'd be our first belt that went over that way. So, you know, I think anytime you kind of got that little rivalry going there as well as with the countries and, you know, the belt and where is it going to stay and stuff like that, I think it always adds even more excitement to the matchup, which the matchup is already great, you know, when you look at the, you know, the talent and how, you know, how well they are matched up. So I think that's a fight. But then again, guys, I'm going to tell you again, if I start talking about one, I'm going to go down that list. I think it's a great fight, but I think every one of these fights is great, you know. I look at the list, and it's like I honestly could not pick which is going to be fight of the night. You know, we could have several that are really going to rival each other on this fight card.
We'll actually go down the list a bit then. Stephanie versus Katja, the other title fight, the strawweight title fight. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, like I said earlier, you know, these are 215-pounders that, you know, are real standouts. I mean, they do deserve the title shot on this one. As I said, you know, they both, you know, defeated some of the girls that are in the tough house now. So I think it's a very legit matchup, you know, for that vacant title.
Now, I want to ask, as far as all those strawweights that have gone to the Ultimate Fighter, being kind of like a very foundational piece of women's MMA, what are your personal thoughts on this upcoming season of the Ultimate Fighter with all those strawweights?
I think it's going to be one of their best seasons ever. You know, I know those athletes. I know the personalities. I know that, you know, they're all very competitive. You know, they're each and every one of them is a little different, you know, and they're not all the same type A personality by far. So I think it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to definitely excite the diehard reality people. And I think they're talented, you know, so it's going to excite the people that are diehard, you know, MMA fans. I mean, I think it's a win-win across the board. I think there's a little bit of something for everybody. In translation of that, I just think it's going to be a really good show.
There any specific fighter you think is going to raise some ruckus inside the house? I think Hurricane Heather Clark's probably going to raise a little bit of ruckus.
Well, you know, I don't know Heather, but yeah, I do hear that she definitely is capable of doing that. Of course, I can't attest to that because I don't really know her. I'm trying to see. I bet Beck stirs a few things up because I know Beck. I'm sure when they get bored, it's hard to say, but I think they're all, you know, like I said, they all have these different personalities, and certainly when you throw them all in one house and stuff, there's going to be some clashes, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be good. I do think it's going to be one of their best seasons, but as far as Invicta FC 8 goes, before we let you get out of here, I mean, what are some final words that you'd like to leave with us, anybody listening, about this event, about the return of Invicta, and about the debut of Invicta on UFC Fight Pass?
Well, you know, in terms of Fight Pass, you know, we're extremely excited. I think it's an amazing platform, and I think it's going to continue to grow and get bigger and bigger and better as, you know, it continues to develop along. You know, we're very honored to be on it, and I know each and every one of the athletes are super excited, and they have every intention of showing everybody why. You know, I always say this, they know we made it, now they're going to show everybody why we deserve to be there. So I think that right there, I think people can expect, you know, a very exciting fight card. And we also found out today that this is also going to be offered on the UFC Network in Latin America. So televised. So that's going to be a really cool thing. You know, lots of different countries are going to be able to watch it live. So, yeah, I mean, you can pick better partners, and they've been incredibly supportive. And like I said, you know, we're pumped up. It's a lot of pressure on us, but we're ready to roll.
I got one more before we let you go, which I almost forgot about. I would have been mad at myself. I want to talk about the addition of Julie Kedzie and how she's been able to help and how things you guys have been able to progress since her coming into Invicta.
Yeah, she's doing amazing. Julie's doing a great job. You know, she's learning. She's growing. You know, she's eager to really know this side of the business, and, you know, very passionate and has a lot of experience, especially, you know, you have an athlete that, you know, she's competed. She's been a trainer, you know, and those are all great assets to bring to the table as a matchmaker. So
right,
no complaints over here. Happy to have her. Glad that she's here. You know, she's here in Kansas City now. So yeah,
right,
we're staying out of trouble, not causing too much here locally yet. So it's all good.
Right on. All right. Well, I do appreciate you joining us so much. You know, we have a show full tonight. It's still, you know, we're talking with Delaney Owen, we're talking with Michelle, we're talking with Charmaine.
Oh,
and nice. It was an honor to have you on the show. And I can't stress enough how, you know, both me and Spencer here at Cage Zombies have been such big fans of what Invicta's done and seeing the growth of women's MMA since the birth of Invicta. And it's great that Invicta has somebody like Jules where you guys can feed off each other. Now you've got the help of the Fight Pass. I really feel like this has been a very pivotal moment in time for women's MMA. As I said when we started the interview, you know, the ladies had to go here and there, the fights were few and far between for them until having a designated promotion like Invicta that they could go to and really showcase their talents and that the world could truly see that a lot of time ladies' fights will trump the men's fights, bar none, hands down, no doubt about it. The women are so much more technical a lot of the time, and to have somewhere on such a grand scale to be able to watch that, you know, before when you guys were running them free on your website and then doing the online pay-per-views and now with Fight Pass, it's just been a phenomenal opportunity for women's fights, and I can't say enough for the great things that you and your team have done for it so far, and I look forward to the soon future as far as the far future for Invicta and for all that you guys are going to do for the sport.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for the support. You know, we couldn't do it without people like you that get behind us, support us, and give us the opportunity to talk about what we do. So thank you very much for having me on and for having my athletes on.
You got it. We look forward to hearing some great things from Invicta soon. I look forward to hearing those names. You got me excited. I really hope that I'm partial to some of these fighters, so I like to promote, you know, Delaney's a girl that I've known for a long time, and Amber Stotzenberger is a girl I've been following for a long time, and I think she's a real badass. So kind of hoping to hear her name come out in those signings. But whether or not she gets picked up by you guys this time, I know you guys are going to have a great class of new fighters to sign, and we'll look forward to seeing them in the cage very soon.
All right. Well, you guys have a great night, and thanks again. I appreciate it.
Hey, you too, Shannon. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shannon Knapp, Invicta Fighting Championships, phenomenal woman, phenomenal thing that she's doing for women's MMA. Kari, I am sorry. I did not do that on purpose. I know that you love Invicta and you love the ladies in MMA. I was just kind of thinking, my mindset was just more on the fact of this is something that me and Spencer have been talking about, you know, on the show, off the show for a long time, and I didn't purposely, I wasn't trying to say, like, Kari hates Invicta, Kari hates women's MMA. No, it was an honest mistake, but I hope that you
well,
can
thank
forgive
you for
me
clearing
still find
that
it.
Up.
I hope you can still find it in your heart to love me one of these days again. You know, I hope that we can move past this.
I think we might be able to. We'll see.
Okay, so Spencer's going to run down Legacy real quick, and I will pull up the Titan FC fight card while Spencer gets ready to run down Legacy. So go for it, Spencer.
Yeah, Legacy FC 34, we were talking about events earlier in the episode, events going down this weekend. This one's going down tomorrow night. It's actually down south in Mississippi. You can find it on Access TV starting at 10. The fight kicking it off is Bobby Taylor versus William Walker. The main event, though, is Brian Hall versus Pedro Souza. It's going to be a great fight. And then the co-main event, Jonathan Brookins versus Austin Lyons. Of course, Jonathan Brookins, a former fighter in the UFC. He's coming off a win at Legacy Fighting Championship 29. That was his snapping a two-fight losing streak, Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier. So he's back on track. He's looking to keep that rolling, and I think he's going to pull this one off. He has some slick submissions. I see this not making it out of the first round. Brookins beating Lyons. I'm going to say by armbar. And then the final fight I want to talk about, Ben Brewer versus Gilbert Smith. Gilbert Smith, another guy coming off the Ultimate Fighter. So Legacy Fighting Championship 34 is going to have a solid event tomorrow night. Make sure you tune in. Access TV starting at 10.
Right on. And let's see, I have the Titan FC fight card right here. Okay, no, I don't. I just have GIFs. GIFs. Who says, what do you guys, did you guys say GIF or GIF? Because I don't know if there's an actual, like, pronunciation for that.
I personally GIF. Say GIF, but
I
do have the
GIF.
Fight card up, Matthew, if you want me to start or
okay,
you
go
got
ahead,
it.
Man. You get, no, go ahead. Go ahead and do it.
Matthew and I were talking about this before the show a little bit. Titan Fighting Championship 29, of course, Titan FC. Is now shown on CBS Sports Network, which was a great move for them. We were talking about Invicta moving to Fight Pass. This has been a great move for them, although I have to say I hate Stefan Bonner's announcing. He signed with Bellator. Maybe he's going to be announcing for Bellator now. So that's I think that only benefits Titan FC. But it was a decent fight card. It started off a little bit slower, but then it finished with a bang, especially Kurt Holliba against Lloyd Woodard. Fight lasted 15 seconds, a crazy KO, and it was lucky for Holliba because he actually injured his leg checking one of Woodard's kicks before he landed that knockout punch. He talked to them afterwards in the interview saying he probably couldn't have continued fighting, so that was lucky for him that he did land that punch. Then the main event, Mike Ricci versus George Sotiropoulos. Matthew, I'm not sure if you got to watch that one. It was a somewhat exciting fight in the fact that Ricci just was so technical, picking apart Sotiropoulos.
I didn't get to see it, man. I got a DVR, I watched the first half of the fight card, and I just never got a chance to finish it. I will be going back and finishing it, though, because it was looking good. And I was excited, man. It was the first time, when I saw it on the schedule, I'm like, all right, man. I'm like, CBS Sports, wait a second, I don't get that. Man, I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. Then I'm scrolling through my TV guide, and I find CBS Sports. I'm like, oh, holy hell. So I turn it over there, right? I'm all excited for Titan FC 29, and I got to watch 45 minutes of a freaking college softball game. And I'm like, is this seriously going down right now? Is this what's happening? Am I the only sucker that this is happening to? But nope, of course I wasn't. I pulled up Twitter. I started following some of the tweets for Titan FC 29, and everybody was watching that college softball game, and everybody was having the same feelings that I had. Like, what the hell are we looking at right here?
You know what, Matthew? You were not alone in that. I was the same way, and I'm pretty sure the softball ratings jumped right there because everybody was tuning in for Titan FC.
That was probably the most watched college women's softball game of all time. Somebody score, any team. Let's just get one point. Let's end this thing and let's move on and better our lives by getting this crap off of the TV. So, anyways, that's enough of that. We're going to be talking next with Delaney Owen, who is one of my favorite people. I love this girl. She's really worked hard to get here. I'm so beyond pumped for her that she's finally here. You know, she signed with Invicta a while back and was, you know, they were working out the deals, obviously, to get the network deal, and they ended up signing the deal with Fight Pass. And pretty much as soon as they signed that deal, they announced it, Invicta 8. Delaney got the call that she would be part of that. So I'm just excited for her that she's finally reached this point. She's fought so hard. 7-1 Amy career, just destroying everybody pretty much she was put in front of, having that one tough decision loss that took place. But, she turns pro. Since going pro, she's 2-0. Both fights coming at 125, which is not where she fights. She just took those fights on short notice to kind of be active, stay fresh, went out. And in her first fight, she wins the 125-pound Sugar Creek Showdown title, and then she goes and destroys another girl at 125. And now she's here to join us, and that's Delaney, little Scrappy Owen.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing phenomenal, Delaney. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm pretty tired and sore, but I'm good.
You've been training real hard, as I was just kind of saying before we got you on the phone here. You know, you've been working really hard for this debut. This is something that you and your team have wanted for a long time, something that you guys have believed in, that your friends, followers have posted about, tweeted about, and that's getting, Delaney signed to Invicta. Obviously we talked to you after the signing. We got to know a little bit about how you were feeling there. How are you feeling now that you're about a week out from your Invicta debut?
I'm super excited. You know, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to meet Shannon officially, and I can't wait to meet all the other girls, weigh in. I love going out of town. I love going on trips like this. It's kind of like a mini vacation for me. It's relaxing. I'm not really nervous about it. The fight, yes, I always am nervous about the fight. That's a good thing. But I can't wait to kind of go out of town. I feel like I'll be able to relax a little bit more. This week's hell week, so I can't wait till next week so that I can just kind of wind down, I guess.
Now I know it's really big for you. It's something that means a lot to you, that you're finally getting to make your 115 debut at pro. You know, you obviously – you fought 115 is where you want to fight. That's where you belong. That's where you feel best at. And you got to fight that way, through the Ammies. And then, of course, your two pro fights were both at 125 because they were kind of things that were taken on short notice to kind of keep yourself fresh, keep yourself active. What's it going to feel like to finally step in that cage at 115 and start to be like, because right now, as we were just saying with Shannon, that 115 division is kind of wide open right now with a lot of those strawweights moving up to the UFC, you could get in there and within one or two fights really put yourself as a foundational piece of the future of Invicta strawweight division. So how does that feel that you're getting to make your 115 pro debut in the Invicta cage?
It's kind of a big deal. I've been wanting to fight at 115 for a while now. I was taking the 125 fights just because they were, kind of coming up, and the last two fights that I had were at 3 weeks' notice. So I'm really excited to be able to finally fight at my true weight class, since I walk around at about 125 pounds anyway. So it's kind of nice to fight girls that are closer to my size, because the girls that were at 125 were definitely a whole lot bigger than I am. But it is exciting because I know that there's a lot of girls that are wanting to be at 115, so the division is growing, and it's huge. And maybe in a couple fights, if I continue to do well, then maybe I can, head on over to the UFC, see what happens there. But I'm pretty happy where I'm at right now. you know, so I'm just going to take one fight at a time and just do my best. So, but it is pretty exciting because I see a lot of girls either dropping down to 115, you know, because of the UFC now, or going up to 115. So there's going to be a lot of girls in that division that are tough, for sure.
Now, Delaney, we were talking with Shannon earlier about how big this fight card is, going to be on Fight Pass and everything. How does it feel being one of the fights to kick it off? You're one of the first fights of the night. So, I mean, everybody's going to be seeing you. How does that feel?
Yeah, I am the first fight of the night, so that's kind of exciting. I'm making history. It's kind of a big deal. And I've been telling all my friends and family, you know, I'm going to be on UFC Fight Pass. They're like, oh, my gosh, really? Where can I watch it? You know, blah, blah, blah. So I have a somewhere is going to show it. So a whole bunch of people are going to go over there and be able to watch me. So I'm kind of excited about that because that's going to be a first, you know, having everybody meet at one place and be able to watch me. But, yeah, I'm excited that we get this type of platform to showcase our skills. You know, I think Shannon's doing an amazing thing, and I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Now you're looking pretty ferocious here. You know, Mike sent me over a picture earlier. You know, you're looking quite ripped lately. What are you doing differently in your training? Are you trying to build muscle mass? Are you just trying to kind of switch it up a little bit? Have you changed training at all, or are you kind of sticking to the same routine? What are you doing? Because you're looking pretty beastly right now.
Thanks.
And I don't mean that. Hold on. I don't mean that in like a manly, like derogative way towards you, Delaney. I mean just like. That came out weird. But anyways, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, you're being really mean right now. Delaney's looking kind of manly. No, I'm just kidding. I've been, you know, I have some really good sponsors that have been helping me out too. Titan Medical, for one thing. You know, I've been taking all my vitamins and, you know, amino acids, stuff like that. So I feel like I'm at my optimal level, so everything is balanced. You know, before, you know, I was having a little bit of problems with that, so I feel like I'm in the best shape of my life right now. And by being able to take the vitamins and the amino acids, it's just helped me to really kind of tone up more. And I've been kind of doing the same stuff, changing up a little bit, but I just been working out extremely hard, like 2 a days, you know, before, sometimes 3 a days. So I'm wanting to win. So every time I think about not working out, I'm like, no, I want to win. So I just keep on going. I keep on pushing at it, even when I don't want to. And I think that's, you know, really the key, and that's what's been able, you know, to make me tone up a lot more and just get a lot stronger too, and working with a lot more guys as well, you know, whether it's grappling or, you know, a lot of clinch work, stuff like that. You know, that's always going to help me get stronger. So
now I know Kari wants to jump in and ask you something. Before she does that, though, I just wanted to make sure I went ahead and hit up Mike already to verify I wasn't trying to say you look like a big tough dude or anything. That came out way wrong, and I just kind of dug myself in the hole there. But
no, you're okay. That's fine. I didn't think that at all.
Just don't kick my ass, please.
Okay. I'm still pretty small. Like right now, I'm really small. So.
Well, your upcoming fight, as we all know, is against J.J. Aldrich. Do you have any kind of past or have had any confrontation leading up to this bout? I mean, I'm sure people try to hype fights and everything. I just didn't know. Do you know her personally? Like, how is that going as far as, you know, interactions are leading up to this fight?
I don't know her personally. She seems kind of like a quiet person, but, you know, I haven't met her yet, so I don't really know. But she, like, you know, some of her teammates and friends or whatever have commented on some stuff on the Invicta page, and some of it's a little bit immature, but, you know, it is what it is. You're going to have people like that are going to do that and say things and take things personally, and, you know, I'm just keeping everything professional, and I'm going to show up to fight. So, and I'm sure she is too, you know, like I have the utmost respect for her, and I know that she's going to bring her A game, so.
Well, that's very good of you to stay that way. As always, keep it classy, girl. But
yeah.
How like, have you, I know Matthew mentioned your training earlier, have you, like, studied, are you studying her at all? I mean, this is kind of, you know, this is a big deal for you to have, like, your intensity level. Are you approaching this differently in any way just because of the level of the bout?
Right. I mean, yeah, I've watched her videos, of course, you know, whatever I can find on her. And but I leave all of that up to my coach for sure. And, you know, I know that she's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. I know that she likes to strike. So she seems pretty well-rounded, but so am I. So I've really just been working on myself, and I'm just doing kind of whatever my coach has told me to do. You know, I feel like that's the best way to go.
Well, you know, as it approaches it, I mean, it's like right around the corner now. We're talking just over a week out. This is really, you know, a big moment for you. It's still a really young career. You know, I've believed in you for a long time and been able to get to see you firsthand for a long time. And I think a lot of people really haven't had that opportunity. What do you think people are going to think? What do you think that they're going to see from you when you finally step in that Invicta cage and you really take your career to that next level?
So it was funny. Somebody tweeted today. They said that there's like a voting, and it said that our fight was probably, the prediction was going to be fight of the night. So I thought that was interesting. I know that there's a lot of people out there that definitely don't know who we are, you know, JJ and I, and then there's a lot that do, but, you know, like the majority don't. So I think that being the first fight, I plan on making a statement, and I know that everybody's going to know me after that, and I can't wait. I'm really excited about it. I definitely like the attention. I like to go out there and do what I do best. So I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm really excited, and I plan to seize this opportunity and make the most of it, you know.
Yeah, of course. Now, you've gotten to do some really cool cross-training. You know, obviously you've done training with some of the team right there out of Highlander, but you've had people come in as well to do training with you. Talk about what that's been like and how you've been able to kind of push yourself a little bit farther in training by having people come in and kind of, you know, take you to another level.
Yeah, Bruce Ferguson came down. He's one of Mike's brown belts from Kentucky. He's a pro fighter. He almost made it to the house for the Ultimate Fighter. I believe it was season 14, I think. His brother Taz, Josh Ferguson, made it on to the house. I don't know if some of y'all remember that. They're 135ers. So that was really cool for me to be able to work with him just because he's super technical. He's got great stand-up game and wrestling and jiu-jitsu, just overall, you know, really well-rounded fighter, great person. So that was really exciting. Came down for about a week and worked with me pretty much the entire time. So that was really cool. And then I got to go and spar with a couple girls at a few different gyms around this area and been getting some work in there. So, yeah, I really appreciate everybody that's, you know, taking the time out of their, you know, day to help me out and get me ready for this fight. And I won't let anybody down. I can't wait.
Right on. Now, before we let you go, Delaney, as always, want to give you a chance to shout out your sponsors. And I know you got a pretty awesome team of sponsors. And then also, of course, we can find you on social media because I know you're very active on there. So go ahead and give those shout outs.
Okay. Well, Titan Medical, Nala Dog, Press Box, local sports bar around here. South Campus Miles, thank you for the mouthpiece, and Premier Fitness Marketing, Anthony Gonzalez of Broden Gonzalez Law Firm, Pro Fight Supplements, and Mastro Subaru. And then everybody can find me on Twitter, at ScrappyDL. Please follow me on Instagram, Little ScrappyDL. Any more followers? And like my fan page, Delaney Little Scrappy Owen. And I came out of Highlander MMA. Thank you to my team for constantly pushing me. And my fiance, Mike Yanez, and my coach, thank you for always being there for me. And and just continuing to push me too. And thank you guys so much for having me on the show. I always love to be on. You guys are the best.
Well, I want to wish you the best of luck. I'm super, super excited. Always love seeing your, like, I follow you on Instagram, by the way. I love seeing your pictures. Yeah. And I'm very, very excited for you. Really, I cannot wait to see you get in there and do your thing.
Thank you guys so much.
Delaney, have a good one. You know I'll be watching. You know I'll be supporting. I can't wait to see you get out there and tear it up in the cage next weekend. All right, take care.
All right, thanks. Have a good night.
You too. Delaney, Little Scrappy Owen, we're going to take a quick break, play some good music, and then we'll be back to continue the episode. We'll be joined here by Michelle, the Karate Hottie Watterson, in about 10 minutes' time. So kick back, enjoy this song, and we'll be back in a minute.
It's called TNC. Thank you guys again. Have a great night. We'll be right back.
Pro-Am Championship belt, who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championship, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am Championship Belts, ProAmBelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am Belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am Championship Belts.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
That's right, IntimidationClothing.com, check it out. So real quick before we jump in with Michelle Watterson, who we'll talk here with in a few minutes, Benson Henderson, man, what a knockout this last weekend, man. Benson just got straight laid out. It was a good fight and just a great finish there, a great finish, as well as Bisping. Bisping got a great finish too, so I don't know what you guys' thoughts are on those real quick, and then we'll move on and get started with Michelle.
Well, with Benson Henderson, my first thought was seeing the fight, I thought it was stopped just a little too early. Looking back at it, I'm not so sure about that. I think either way wouldn't have mattered. I think Rafael Dos Anjos is just on another level as of recent. He's on a tear. I'm not sure. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think he's on like a 5-fight winning streak or a 4-fight winning streak, and that's a tough division to do that in. So I look forward to seeing who he fights next. As far as Bisping goes, man, the doctor in Macau should have stopped that fight way, way sooner because Kung Lee looked almost unrecognizable. If you haven't seen that picture, go online, Google Kung Lee's face, and then maybe type in Bisping afterwards and see what he looks like. He looks like he can't even see. His eyes are so swelled up, both of them.
I agree 100%. With that statement. I mean, his right eye, I thought, was completely closed. I couldn't believe it wasn't stopped either.
I think his right brain was completely closed. All right, so as we get ready to go live here with Michelle Watterson, Spencer, if you want to go ahead and give her a call, we'll get her rolling. Michelle, I mean, what do you say about Michelle Watterson? This girl is a phenomenal young fighter, 11-3 so far in her professional career. You know, she won... It's going to be her third fight with Invicta. She won the fight. She won, you know, against Jessica Penny. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's a simple-looking name, but those freaking double N's. But anyway, she won the atomweight title against Jessica at Invicta 5, made her debut at Invicta 3 against Lacey Shuckman. Lacey Shuckman's one phenomenal young fighter as well. Michelle's just done a lot in her short time with Invicta, and she has... already before coming to Invicta had inserted herself as one of the top young fighters out there in the atomweight division. And the atomweight division is something before Invicta, the atomweight division is something that was very well unknown here in the States. It's not something that we were very familiar with. You know, we started seeing these young atomweight fighters come in because of Invicta, and they're kind of really opening our eyes. We're going, wow, look at these girls fly at 105. You know, they're really on the next level. And I think as I say that, I think we are joined by Michelle, the Karate Hottie Watterson. Michelle, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Am I missing a good conversation?
I was just kind of saying that, you know, before Invicta, we really didn't have much experience with the atomweight division. And with mm-hmm. Invicta kind of coming together and bringing in a lot of these 105ers, a lot of you, you know, you, you, you girls to fight in that 105 division and kind of like open our eyes to it going, wow, you know, these girls at 105, they're really flying across the cage. They're high impact. They're fast. They're quick. I mean, it's amazing. So, you know, and as I was saying before, Invicta, you had already kind of asserted yourself as one of the top 105ers out there. So just how did you get into fighting? You know, where did you realize you wanted to be a fighter and what brought you to MMA?
You know, it's a crazy story. Martial arts has been a part of my life for a long time. Since I was 10, my brother got me into martial arts, and so, you know, I was doing American freestyle karate and doing local tournaments and competing in katas and point sparring. And so I got my black belt in American freestyle karate, and then I kind of ventured off after that. I just really fell in love with the martial arts, and I wanted to know everything there was to know about it. So, you know, I dabbled in some Kenpo, and then I did a little bit of Wushu, and then as I became older, and like when I was a young adult, I knew that I wanted to do some type of martial arts as a career, and fighting kind of just fell in my lap because I found out that you could make money fighting, and you know, eventually I wanted to become a teacher. I wanted to become an instructor of the martial arts, and I wanted to be able to have on my resume that I could do both, that I could be like a combative martial artist and, you know, teach martial arts in the more artistic sense. Because I just feel like if I could tell people that I was a professional fighter and that I had like all these fights under my belt, that they would take me more seriously. And so, yeah, I mean, kind of like that. I mean, the story that most people know is that I was working at Hooters part-time as I was going through college, and I took like side jobs here and there doing photo shoots and, you know, little ring car girl things here and there. And I stumbled upon being a ring girl for this small MMA circuit that was running in Colorado, and there is where I met Donald Cerrone, and I was fascinated by the MMA because I knew about boxing, I knew about like Muay Thai, but the fact that you could take the fight anywhere kind of like really intrigued me, and I told the promoter I was real interested in fighting, and I kind of told him that I had a background, and he kind of looked at me like I was crazy, and kind of like brushed me off. So I told the same thing to Donald, and I guess some fight had fallen through on a local like smoker card, and he came into my work and was just left me a note and was like, if you're serious about training, get your ass in the gym. And so I started training with Donald Cerrone, and I probably had five or six amateur Muay Thai fights, and then I jumped into my first pro debut MMA fight probably about a year after that.
Right on. Now, I got to ask here, you know, obviously with your recognition in MMA, you know, you built yourself up very quickly at a young age, doing a lot of good things here very early on in your career. I want to know about your appearance on Bully Beatdown. How did that come about, and was that as fun of an experience as it looked like it was?
Oh, it was so fun. I was nervous, though, because I just, you know, I'm a professional fighter, and I think that would be the worst thing. I mean, never hear the end of it if I got clobbered by a bully. I would never hear the end of it from my teammates. So I think I was more nervous about that than anything. But, you know, it's real. These people are bullies. And, you know, that girl definitely had a mouth on her, so didn't mind taking it to her.
didn't mind giving her a little bit of an ass whooping.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of ass whoopings, you've definitely put in your time. Like you said, martial arts has been a part of your life for a very long time. I know your number 9 ranked pound-for-pound fighter through WMMA Fighter, or through MMARising.com, the number 1 ranked Adam Waite according to Unified Women's MMA Rankings and Fight Matrix. And now you are a title holder and the best women's promotion out there. Do you think this puts a huge target on your back? And if it does, do you want that target there? You seem feisty. You seem like you want it. Like, come on. Come at me,
yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's something everybody wants, you know. Or if you're fighting, you should probably be striving to do something, you know, amazing. Otherwise, I don't think you should be doing it. And yeah, it puts a huge target on my back. But I think challenges is what makes you better, you know. And having girls come up and want to challenge me is what drives me to train and push harder in the gym.
And you've definitely pushed hard your entire career. I know. I just wanted to make sure that everyone is aware that's listening. You had the Adam Waite Fight of the Year last year. That and you were Adam Waite of the Year. So I think those are two very notable things that everybody should know about you, and I want to congratulate you on both of those honors.
Well, thank you. That's really cool. That's cool to know.
Now, with this fight coming up here, obviously right around the corner, you're talking a week out from the fight here. You know, how are you feeling? How's training been going? At what point of your training are you at now? Are you still kind of – are you doing that hell week that most fighters do at this point, or are you starting to kind of – ease down a little bit? Where are you at in your fight camp at this moment?
Well, yeah, hell week, I guess, is a perfect way to put it. I mean, I feel like I've been training for over a year for this fight, but in this last 8 months, I really picked it up and kind of hit it hard. And, or did I say 8 months? I mean 8 weeks. If any, I wouldn't have an 8 month camp. But this last week, I think Tuesday was my last hard day sparring. And then tomorrow, it'll be my last hard day hitting mitts. And, yeah, just kind of right now, just worrying about the weight and getting those pounds off.
Now, we like to ask this to all fighters. Are you the type to, during your training camp, kind of watch up on film? To see your opponent's style, and how much do you know about Issuka Tamada?
I don't watch tape religiously. You know, at the beginning of my camp, I'll pull up what I can, watch it a couple of times, you know, and try to find just little habits here and there. And then after that, I kind of just, you know, between me and my coaches, formulate a game plan and just kind of more so focus on what, you know, I want to do to them, what I would like to do to my opponent. And so I think that's kind of just been the best way for me to go about studying my opponents, because, you know, anything more than that, and I'm just overthinking it, because anything can happen in MMA.
Now, how does it feel being the first main event for Invicta on Fight Pass?
I mean, it's very exciting, a little nerve-wracking, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a stacked card, so I don't feel like I'm, you know, I don't feel like it's a main event. I feel like it's a stacked card, and every single fight's going to be an awesome fight, and people that are coming to watch the fights are coming to watch every single fight, not just, you know, mine. And so it kind of takes a little pressure off of me. And I'm excited for all the girls on the show, on the card. And I think it's going to be a wonderful night.
Now, as far as your support system goes, you know, most fighters enjoy a good backing. And I know that it kind of made a little bit of headlines when Overeem was seen rocking the Michelle Waterson t-shirt. How did that make you feel?
Everybody at the gym is so, we're really close, you know, we're like family. We joke, you know, if the big guys can do anything to help us little guys out and support us and try to just, you know, help each other out, then they're more than willing to do that. And that's just what I love about anybody that comes to Jackson's. They know that it's like a family environment, you know. Some days we argue like brothers and sisters, but at the end of the day, we got each other's back, you know.
Now you're part of a very, very awesome fraternity, and that's like the moms of MMA. You know, a lot of people don't really think much about, you know, a lot of these lady fighters are moms. They got kids that are their biggest supporters, that are sitting there watching them, that are supporting them, that they're you're having to juggle that on top of being a top-notch, world-class fighter. You know, what's that like? Because I know there's a few out there. You know, Kat Zingano is one of the more notable fighters who's also a mom. What's it like to kind of have that support at home, and you have those little ewes running around that are supporting you as well as a lot of the fans and stuff out there worldwide?
Oh, you know, it's sweet. I think that after having my daughter, it kind of gave me a new sense of drive and a newfound motivation. And, you know, I just think that it teaches her a valuable lesson that mommy's going after, you know, her dreams and her ambitions. And, you know, whether it's fighting or wanting to be, you know, the next princess on Disney Channel. Like, it's whatever, but as long as you're following your dreams and actually follow through, you know, have a dream and put some steps in place to make that dream become a reality. And hopefully she sees that's what I'm doing right now, you know.
Absolutely. Awesome. Very awesome words there. And that's true. That can go out to almost anybody, you know, any young person out there that's got dreams or they've got hopes of something to achieve, that, you know, that there's nothing in life that can stop you. You know, as long as you believe in yourself and as long as you believe in what you want, you can make it a reality. I think that's very awesome stuff for you to say. Now, how are you feeling about, you know, main eventing Invicta 8, the debut of Invicta on UFC Fight Pass?
When I sit down and really think about it, it makes me really nervous. But when I, you know, when I'm just trying to just be in the present and understand that it will be another day in the office once that cage closes and the first punch flies, then the nerves kind of go away.
Now, I know we've kind of talked a little bit about the opponent, a little bit about the training. I mean, what do you kind of, you know, aside from the fight itself, you know, what's going to be the most relieving part, kind of when all this is done, when the fight's done, what's going to be, like, the most relieving thing for you to kind of sit back and look back on?
To know that I have defended my belt. You know, it's been a long time. Like, I feel like I won that belt, but I feel like in order for me to, like, truly say that I'm a champ, that I have to defend it. And so I think, you know, when everything's said and done, that's what's going to kind of let me, like, exhale.
Well, and talking about defending it, one way that I noticed while looking over your record is you have some amazing submission skills. And if I saw correctly, you had a flying armbar in 15 seconds. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
I don't remember
amazing.
The timing of it, but...
I mean, that is amazing. And you've had several by armbar. You know, I think that's... We don't talk enough about other female athletes' armbars than Ronda Rousey's, and I think yours should be quite notable and noticed, in my opinion. And is that something, like, your submissions, or is that something that you tend to focus on? Is that a way you like to end the fight?
No, you know, I think this what ends up happening is I always want to start it standing, and I go to kick them, and they catch my kick, and we end up going to the ground. And I started off as a stand-up fighter, and when I got into MMA, I remember hating grappling because I just was no good at it, and I'd get, like, I would literally get wrapped up like a little rag doll. And I remember being at the gym and skipping grappling practice on purpose because I was, like, so nervous about it. And then I went up to Ronald and asked him if he could hold mitts for me. And he looked at me and he's like, "Why should I hold mitts for you? You didn't go to grappling practice. You know, you're an MMA fighter. You're not a Muay Thai fighter. You're not a kickboxer. You're an MMA fighter. You got to get better at the things that you're not good at." And, like, I mean, he said that in front of everybody and just, like, totally embarrassed me. But, like, he was making a point. And the point is, like, you know, if you want to be good at the sport, you have to be good at every aspect. And so from that day on, I forced myself to try to get better at the things that I wasn't good at. And I just ended up getting really good at jiu-jitsu.
Now, if you know, with what you've accomplished thus far in MMA, you've really asserted yourself as one of the top fighters out there, period, in all of women's MMA, you know, as well as in the atomweight division. But, you know, if you're, you know, say you're just walking down the street on an average day and a kid walks up to you who knows you, they say, oh, my gosh, you know, you're Michelle Waterson. I've been watching you on TV. I love your fights. You know, what would be probably that word of wisdom that you would give to a young person out there maybe looking to get into MMA for what you've learned from the sport thus far?
You know, I think that it's an ongoing learning experience, and the minute that you think you know it all is the minute you're going to get your butt kicked. So you should always be learning and trying to get better.
Right on. I've heard a lot of fighters say that same thing, is that, you know, the moment where you think that you've got it all figured out is when somebody comes along and tells you that and shows you that you don't yet. And it's always something that I think MMA is probably the one sport where you can never stop learning. You know, I think in some other sports,
yeah,
you can reach, you know, you've got people that have reached the pinnacle of those sports and they've become the best they can be. Whereas I think in MMA, with it being such a fast evolving sport, always growing, always changing, I think that there's always something that fighters can learn. And I think that it makes great sign for a fighter for you to say something like that you can keep learning, that you know that you can keep learning, because I think the worst thing for a fighter is that they don't have that awareness that, hey, I can keep learning and keep growing from this sport.
Definitely. I thought, Michelle, I knew it all when I got my black belt, but it was just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, before we let you get out of here for the night, Michelle, won't you give a shout-out to your sponsors and then where people can find you on social media?
Okay, well, my main sponsor for this fight is Americana MMA, and they're the ones that are putting together those sweet Karate Hottie t-shirts if anybody's interested. And then my supplement sponsor on it, and also Sports Food, and also Caveman Coffee, and who is owned by Jody Esquivel, one of my teammates, and my friend who is doing meal preps for me here in Albuquerque. And that's eatfitabq.com. And if anybody's interested in following what I do in my day-to-day life, I'm most active on my Instagram because I like to take pictures. And it's karatehottiemma.com. If you guys don't have UFC Fight Pass yet, please go out and get it and support us. Chicas, who's getting in the ring next weekend to fight, or in the cage, I should say.
Right on. Well, listen, Michelle, thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing a lot of great things from you down the line, and we look forward to seeing a really awesome fight from you next Saturday. Best of luck to you. I hope to see you go out there, defend that title, and do some great things for women's MMA, all right?
Thank you guys so much for bringing me on. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem, Michelle. You have yourself a good night, and best of luck to you.
Alrighty, you too.
That is Michelle, the Karate Hottie Waterson. I want to know, Kari, do you call these fighters family members to be able to ask them information about when they were, you know, in middle school and the B that they got on their elementary algebra math test and stuff? Like, where does this stuff come from?
I don't know. I guess I just come across it. Like, I swear I'm not stalking family members or anything. Like, I just find this stuff. No, just a little bit of research. Maybe things just jump out to me differently.
Well, I got to give you credit because you did catch, you know, you asked earlier in the evening in the Charmaine tweet fight, you know, let me pull it. Let me get it here real quick.
First light fight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Charmaine tweet versus Veronica Rothenhauser. Hosler. I don't know. But anyways, this is going to be the first lightweight fight in Invicta's history. You know, Charmaine has fought for them before. For Invicta, she fought at Invicta FC 7, but it was as a featherweight, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was as a featherweight against Julia Budd. So this will be the first lightweight fight in Invicta's history. That's kind of cool. That's kind of new because Invicta was like, you know, they made the strawweights and the atomweights famous. You know, the bantamweights and featherweights and we had seen before in women's MMA. But it was really like the atomweight, strawweight, and flyweights that really Invicta kind of catapulted onto a grand scale and really put it on a bigger level. So yeah, good catch. We'll talk to Charmaine about that and ask her how she feels about being part of the first lightweight fight. That's pretty cool. Obviously, you know, she's fought for them. Like I said, she fought Invicta 7. She was supposed to have a fight at Invicta 6, but it didn't work out. And she's coming off a most recent fight at a, looks like a Canadian event where she got a first-round submission. But anyways, all right, so Spencer wants to talk real quick about this Stephen Bonner thing, and I'm going to go, I guess we'll go ahead and let him do it, although I think it's a, I don't know, I think it's ridiculous. But anyways, go ahead, Spencer.
It is a bit ridiculous. Stephen Bonner signing with Bellator, obviously a UFC Hall of Famer for that Forrest Griffin fight he had. He was commentating, as I said earlier, for Titan Fighting Championship. He wasn't doing a very good job. I prefer to hear Firas Zahabi rather than Stephen Bonner. I don't understand. I think that's the only organization that has like three or four announcers per event, and it just gets way too confusing. But anyway, Stephen Bonner signing with Bellator. I have to read more into it. Kari probably knows it off the top of her head. Is he going to be fighting or is he going to be commentating?
I actually am not sure. That's one thing I have not done enough research on, apparently. I could probably find it really quick.
But I
don't know that for sure. I think, is he fighting?
I think he, I'm pretty sure he's fighting, man. I think he, Skippy posted about this like a week ago. You know what? We got Skippy here. Oh, let's bring Skippy in real quick.
Woohoo!
Skippy, man, didn't you mention something a week or so ago about Stephen Bonner signing with Bellator to fight?
Yeah, we were told by some friends before it ever came out. That's why I made that post that day to see what everybody thought.
Now, and he's signing to fight, right? Not to commentate.
No, he signed, I believe, a 4-fight deal.
Right, and
wow.
it's possibly going to be a fight with Tito Ortiz is what they're looking to match up first.
It looks like if everything goes the way it's supposed to, that will be his first fight in Bellator.
What are your personal thoughts on Stephen Bonner versus Tito Ortiz?
First of all, the money that they spent on both those guys could have been spent getting 9 up-and-coming fighters. That's my personal opinion.
Agreed.
Second of all, I love Stephen. I think he's fun to watch. But bringing a guy out of retirement who only had one great, truly great fight and all the rest were an average fight, I think it's a waste of money. I think that I understand why Coker's doing it. He's going to build up the secondary, you know, fighters on the cool while he sells the first 8 to 10 cards with big names and ex-UFC fighters. And it worked for him in Strikeforce to a point, and then it stalled out. And that's my concern. Right now, I call Bellator, you know, with Scott Coker, it's a pig with lipstick. It's still a pig underneath. I haven't seen anything to change my mind yet.
Yeah. Right on, man. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, man, good show, guys. You guys are killing it.
Appreciate it, man. We'll go ahead and I know you guys, you're dealing with a lot of children over there at your workplace, so we'll go ahead and get you back on mute so you can go back to babysitting those kids at the bar up there. Keep rocking it, Skippy. You're the man, dude. Right on. So, it's looking like a possible Stephen Bonner, Tito Ortiz fight, which, as Skippy said, with this new regime in Bellator, the one thing I really started to really loathe about Bellator was these fights that they were trying to build around. You know, you're talking, you know, Tito Ortiz and Rampage. It's like, who really cares? You know, like, I don't think that's a fight that should be headlining in an event. And Bellator has done so many great things in the past with bringing in phenomenal young talent, making names out of people. You know, they've made names out of guys like Ben Askren, Michael Chandler, Eddie Alvarez, Douglas Lima, Ben Saunders. These are guys that had been successful elsewhere but came into Bellator and really built their names up, really got bigger recognition, put themselves on a new level under Bellator promotion. So to see Bellator going out and signing these guys, these Rampages, Tito's, Bonners, trying to build these big super fights between them when I don't really think anybody cares anymore, I think it's a sad thing. I think it's a loss because, as Skippy said, Skippy's the freaking man. This guy is the epicenter of MMA. As Skippy said, the money that was spent to go out and bring in guys like these could have been spent on, you know, umpteen amount of young fighters, you know. As they're getting ready, let's put it this way, as they're getting ready to rebuild their women's division, why not spend that money on signing some great young female talent? Why are you spending that money on Bonner and Tito and Rampage and these guys and stuff? You know, it's like spend that money rebuilding the women's division, which is something they should have never let go to begin with, but they did because I guess Bjorn Rebney was losing his freaking mind. I don't know. But anyways, as the regime changes and things start to kind of build back up here and Bellator starts to take a different route, I think it's important that they put their money in the right places, just as Skippy was saying. So that's my two cents.
And I agree with you 100% on that. And to also touch on the fact that, you know, Coker's coming in, he's taken over as president, and he's also releasing a lot of fighters. And I think to release some of the fighters they've recently released, you know, you have Shamilov was released, Tillevay, there's Green, Mosiglia. You have so many people that's been released, and then you are signing a Stephen Bonner. I don't really see where that's actually going to be profitable to you. I mean, like Skippy mentioned, I agree with what Skippy said as well, but I don't know how it would actually work out as far as, you know, profits in the long run. I really don't see it. You're getting rid of some notable talent and signing some has-beens, and I just don't like it. Like you said, it's a shame.
It doesn't make
actually
a lot of
cutting
sense.
All those fighters. It probably is paying for Stephen Bonner's contract, actually. And I just want to say, Skippy said, if that fight goes, I believe it was Skippy, or it might have been you, Matthew, if that fight happens, I mean, Tito Ortiz suffers injuries every other month, so I don't even think that fight's going to go through. But one other thing with Bellator, they did re-sign King Mo, Muhammad Lawal, to an extension. His contract's going to be extended with Bellator, so you're going to be seeing him back in the cage again.
Right on, man, right on. I'm still, you know, I still think that we're going to see a lot of good things come from Bellator under the new regime. I do have the fear of them being more susceptible to a UFC takeover in the future. I don't want it to ever happen. But I think the one thing with Bjorn Rebney, and, I, you know, there's been a lot of really negative things and a lot of backlash that's come out against Bjorn since his departure, which is something stuff that I was never familiar with and never really knew about. I always felt like Bjorn ran the company well. You know, obviously there's been a lot of stories coming out. There's this story about how he nearly forced Ben Saunders to retire because Ben just could not do what Bjorn was asking him to do. But that's besides the point. You know, I felt like with Bjorn Rebney in charge, we would have never seen a UFC buyout of Bellator because he would have done everything he could to prevent it. With Coker, I'm just not so sure. Because of what happened with Strikeforce. Now, granted, Strikeforce was in terrible shape when that took place. You know, they had a lot of people jumping ship. Their deal with Showtime, I think, was, like, running out, and they were having a lot of issues going on that kind of caused that. But Strikeforce was such a strong promotion for so many years. For it to have gone down the way it did was sucky to see, and I just don't want that to happen to Bellator. I love Bellator. And I just want to see them continue to go strong and be even stronger than they have been. So hopefully we'll see growth from them, and they'll just only kind of go up and get better and better. So with that, though, we're going to go ahead and transition back to Invicta FC 8, as this is what is our focus tonight. We've had a great night so far talking with Shannon Knapp, talking with Delaney Owen, talking with Michelle Watterson. I was going to run down the fight card real quick, but I think we're getting ready to go live here with Charmaine Not-So-Sweet Tweet, so I will wait a couple moments there to get to kind of go down that fight card, because that's one thing we actually haven't done is kind of go over some of the fights. We talked about a couple of the fights with Shannon, but want to give at least a shout-out to the fight card and at least to the names that we can pronounce here, hopefully pronounce. So. as we mentioned before, you know, Charmaine Tweet she's fought with Invicta before, fought at a lot of places throughout Canada, she's fought with, Super Fight League. I know that's something Skippy brought up back in early in her career. She fought with Super Fight League, and she's had a lot of success pretty much everywhere she's been. And I think with that, I think we've got her live. So, Charmaine, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing phenomenal. You know, I got to say, first thing is, and I didn't catch this, but Kari caught this earlier in the show, but your fight here next weekend with Veronica is going to be the first lightweight fight in Invicta's history. So how does that feel?
It's pretty cool. It's nice to, you know, finally be able to showcase some of the heavier weight classes for sure, and not have to cut down as far as I usually do. I'm excited about that.
Now, is this
I know
more of a...
Go ahead, Kari. Well, she brought up weight classes and or weight cuts, and I was actually wanting to ask you about that because I know that you have a pretty strong stance against weight cuts. Are you feeling a lot, you know, more comfortable in your own element being able to fight at lightweight?
Yeah, you know, I fought in May there at 155, and it was like I still had to cut a little bit of weight, but it was one of the easiest cuts I've ever done, and it was so nice afterwards not to have, I don't know how this is for the other girls who fight, you know, who weigh what I do and fight at 145, but I find that after I do a water cut at 145, my lower legs swell for about the next week and a half, so it was nice
wow.
not to have that water retention after. So, yeah, I am super excited, and I feel so much stronger at 155 than I do. I feel strong at 145, but, you know, because I come back and I weigh the same as when I walk in the cage at 150. Like, when I fight at 155, I pretty much weigh the same as when I fight at 145 by the time I step in the cage. It's just, you know, not as tough on my body getting to that the weight the day before sort of thing, if that makes sense.
Yes, it absolutely does.
Now you fought against, I mean, top opponents. You know, your first pro fight, or towards the beginning of your pro career, you fought Ronda Rousey. You fought Amanda Lady Killer Bell. You fought Anna Barone, Julie Budd. You fought a lot of great talent in a young career. How has that kind of helped you reach the point you're at now and kind of, you know, you come into this fight with kind of, you know, with I think if I'm not mistaken, you're 5-4 now. You know, you've got a lot of tough wins. You've got a lot of tough losses. How has that kind of helped you reach this point, and how does that kind of always keep you prepared, having already fought some of the toughest fighters out there? How does that keep you prepared for continuing to face, you know, top-notch opponents?
You know, every fight I go into, I look at that fighter as they are the toughest person I'm ever going to fight. Like, they're tougher than anyone I've fought prior. So, you know, coming off the, especially the tough losses, like the losses to Julia and that, and Adrian Seaver, that sort of thing, Anna Barone the first time. I mean, I learned so much more from those losses so that when I come up against these other tough fighters, I've changed my game since, you know, that loss or the time I fought before, which is good because, like I said, I need to improve every time because I look at the next fighter coming up as the toughest fighter I've ever fought.
Now with that outlook, does that kind of help you? Do you feel like that better prepares you? Do you feel like that kind of gives you a little bit of an advantage, gives you an edge, and kind of makes you one step ahead of your opponent to make sure that you're never underestimating them?
Yeah, I definitely think it does. I mean, as soon as you underestimate somebody, you're at a disadvantage. I mean, if you go in and think that they're going to be the toughest person you're ever going to come up against and they end up not being, well then, great. All that hard work was, you know, it made the fight easy, which is awesome. But if you, you know, look at that person and think, oh yeah, you know, whatever, I'm not going to have any sort of problem with her whatsoever, it's going to be an easy fight, and then all of a sudden they come back and they're stronger than you had expected, well, that puts you at a disadvantage. So I think it's definitely advantageous to look at each opponent and to give them the, you know, the respect they deserve because they're out there training just as hard as you are and, you know, coming in to take that W from you. So, yeah, I think you definitely have to look at them as being a tough opponent.
Agreed. I think that not all fighters kind of have that outlook on things, and so a lot of times they go in there, they're surprised, they're thinking, oh, man, you know, I wasn't expecting this. I didn't give my opponent the proper respect. Now, you know, obviously with the outlook that you have, it shows that you do. You know, you go into every opponent giving them the proper respect, always making, you know, in your head, giving yourself that mentality to say, you know what, this is going to be the toughest opponent I ever face. And whether win or loss, I think at least that says that you can go in there and never be surprised. Always know that you gave your opponent the respect they deserve. The in your head you gave them that you put them on that pedestal to know that, you know, at least if you went in there, you got the win, you got the loss, that you gave the opponent the recognition they deserved, and you brought your best, they brought their best.
Exactly.
Now to touch on your earlier career, You know, you're a former kickboxer, two world championships, trained with a legend in kickboxing, Duke Rufus. It built an amazing foundation to your MMA career. Do you think that that has given you an advantage? And do you ever kind of go back to that kickboxing? Do you want to still dabble in that every now and then? Or are you full focused on what's in front of you right now?
Yeah, I'm definitely open to dabbling in kickboxing, and I absolutely love the striking game. It's where I started, and, you know, like you said, I won a couple of world championships as an amateur. It might be interesting to see what I can do as a pro, that's for sure.
I agree with that 100%. And if you decide to go down that road, I wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you.
I'm excited to see what you can do.
Hey, I got a question from Skippy Cohen. He's obviously a big fan, but he wants to know how cool was it to be made into a cartoon comic strip.
It was pretty cool. I would keep it. I sent it to all the people at work. I was like, you got to check this out. I'm a comic, and they thought it was pretty funny.
Right on. That's awesome. That's cool. He'll have to forward me that picture or show that to me then, I guess, because that guy knows everything. He's I think he stalks a lot of you fighters. But anyways, with Invicta making their debut to UFC Fight Pass, what's it like to be able to be a part of that, the first event on Fight Pass?
It's cool. It's really neat to be making history again. I mean, when I look back at my career, there's been so many things I've done that have been history-making. Like, I fought on the first ever All-Pro Women's card. That was my fight against Anna Barone. And then the last time I fought Anna actually was the first ever main event that featured women in Montreal, in Quebec. So, I mean, to be on the first card, the first Invicta card on UFC Fight Pass is great to add to those things that I've done. And you know, when I look back in 20 years with my grandkids, I can say, hey, look at what Grandma did.
Well, and also having such an important fight, not only with being the first lightweight fight, but the Fight Pass, adding a little bit of fuel to the fire, we've heard a little bit about some trash talking that's going on. And that this may be the most heated fight that's on the card. Do you feel that way?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's had a little bit of time to, because the trash talking started a long time ago, probably about 8 months ago. Shortly after my fight with Julia, we had put out there a couple of different fighters we thought would be a good matchup for the next fight. And, I put it out there, you know, nice and Canadian-like, like we do, nice and polite, very respectful. And the next thing I know, I'm getting called old and told that because of my age,
oh,
my, I'm being dead hurt. Well, you want to piss me off, call me old on Twitter while I'm shopping for my kids for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, well, I can see where that was. That's a little below the belt, I think. And I as far as your age goes, I feel like you are pretty awesome.
Oh,
I think
you
are very young in your athletic ability. So I don't know where that was, I think, uncalled for as well. I didn't know exactly what had been said. I was curious. I just knew that there was a little bit of talk going on between you guys.
Well, I just have to say that after she did go with that low blow, I kind of came back with one myself, which was, you know, she was saying she was going to hurt me. I was going to get hurt because I was old, and I was like, wait a minute, honey, I'm not the one who put myself in the hospital cutting weight. So, and then it went on from there.
There you go. Very, very nice. I love it.
Now, what's it like to kind of be, you know, I asked Shannon this earlier in the night when we spoke with her, and kind of asked this, actually I think I've asked this to everyone tonight, but with Invicta still being really young but yet already having achieved so much success, what's it like to kind of be a part of that? You know, this is going to be your second fight with Invicta, You know, you almost had to fight in Invicta 6, and, you know, that one didn't happen. But you fought at 7, and now fighting here at 8, being part of what I told Shannon was a pivotal moment in time for women's MMA. What's it like to kind of be one of the top fighters out there in that, to be part of something new, like, you know, as I asked you right off the bat, being part of the first lightweight fight, what's it like to kind of just overall be part of what Invicta's doing at a very early time in their existence?
You know, it's pretty surreal. It doesn't really feel real until I get down there, you know, like I'm here, I'm training, I'm working during the day, and it's not something that I think about a whole lot, but, I mean, like I said, it's just with everything that I've done in my career, everything has been just surreal is the best word that I can think of it. Like, you know, it's weird to think that I have won world championships. You know, I've fought in Thailand, and I've beat some of the best in the world, and then I, you know, I went and fought on Invicta 7 against one of the best girls at 145 in the world, and now, yeah, to be debuting Fight Pass with Invicta, to be debuting another weight class, it doesn't seem quite real to me. I'm sure that once it's done, well, you know what, once it's done, it probably won't seem real either. It's just a really strange thing, because I'm here, I'm mom, I'm Charmaine from the credit union, and I'm Charmaine from the fighter, but that's, you know, it seems like such a small part of my life, but such a huge part as well. I can't really describe it. I don't know if this is making sense to you guys or not, but
no,
it's
one of those things that because you're kind of in it right now, it's hard to sum up. It's hard to kind of say what the experience is like, because you're in the middle of the experience. I kind of put you in a hard spot. I gave you a question that was almost impossible to answer, because it's like you're right in the middle of it right now. It's something that you're experiencing, you're being a part of now. I think it's one of those things that you have to wait a few years to look back on and go, you know what, you know, wow, I was part of something really cool at a very early age. You know, I think that, you know, For the massive growth that women's MMA has seen over just the past pretty much like 2 years, I think we've barely even gotten started. You know, the UFC, you know, with the recent additions to the strawweights, allowing more and more fighters to kind of step up and go to Invicta and move up into those next stages, we're still in a very early age here for women's MMA having the stage that it should kind of always deserve. So I think it's hard to kind of sum that up and to put that into a few words. So I understood completely what you were trying to go with that.
Good. I know somebody understands my ramblings. That's awesome.
Now, I mean, what you know, before we let you get out of here, I mean, what's the most, I guess, the most exciting thing to you about the upcoming fight, and about, you know, after the fight takes place, you know, what's going to be probably, you know, what do you want to be your biggest takeaway from this fight?
Basically just shutting her up, to be honest.
Yes.
I really want to avenge that you're old and you're going to get hurt statement.
Oh, I love it. I hope you win. I think you have a lot of people cheering for you. And really, the best of luck. Honestly, I think after looking over the card and everything, this fight is the one I'm looking forward to the most. I think it's going to really deliver, and I can't wait to see what you can do once you get in there.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear. I will
you
do your job.
I'm sure you will. I have no doubt.
All right, Charmaine, before we let you get out of here for the night, I want to give you some chances to give shout-outs to your sponsors, where people can find you on social media, and then just some final words that you'd want to leave with us and leave with anybody listening about what they can expect to see from you next weekend.
Okay, well, as far as social media goes, if you're looking for me on Facebook, you can find me under Charmaine Not So Sweet Tweet, and on Twitter, I'm at Not So Sweet MMA. My sponsors. Okay, get ready for a list. Cause
go ahead.
With the onset of Fight Pass, we've had a lot of people sign on, and it's just absolutely amazing. We have P PCR, Puget Sound Computer Repair, Sean Burdett, the computer guy. He is a huge supporter of women's MMA. London Jack's Authentic British Fish and Chips. A great restaurant here back home that I can't wait to go have some fish and chips after after this fight's done. Stellar Gear up in Saskatoon in Prince Albert in my home province here. They keep outfitting me with my great fight outfits and some wonderful training gear. UFC W 1400, that is actually my local union that I work for or who works for me, more like it, at the credit union. We have Sports Food, the electrolyte strips that you've been seeing me advertising all over my Facebook there, and professional event sponsors who have given me this awesome hookup with some coffee. And anyone who has been following my Facebook page knows that the girls I trained with this summer, we are all part of this huge coffee club. We love our coffee. We hate the fact that we have to cut back on our coffee when we're doing our weight cuts. Canada Way, MMA Comics, those comics we talked about earlier, Zionix, Doc Howie with his Ion bands, Comtech, Dynamic Fasteners, a big new sponsor for me, and, of course, Misfit Made, my walk-in shirt guys, who they're awesome, and I think we're probably going to be seeing a lot more of them in the future here. I also have to thank my coaches at Wiley Jiu-Jitsu, Jeff Wiley, Nolan Kohler, Mike Lee, Daryl Bankins, all the guys I train with down there. They're absolutely awesome to me, and they're really putting up with a lot right now. I actually thank them for putting up with my batshit craziness, because when it gets close to fight time, I go a little nuts on them, and not as relaxed as I might normally be when we're rolling jiu-jitsu, that sort of thing. So a big thanks out to all those guys. And, you know, I always thank my husband, Cord, who puts a lot of this stuff together for me, the interviews. He goes out, finds the sponsors for me, gets all my banners done, does all this kind of stuff that, like I say, if I'm left to my own devices, I probably wouldn't do on my own. My family and my friends and, of course, all the fans who, like I always say, if we didn't have the fans, us fighters wouldn't be able to do what we loved, at least not legally and for money. And of course, we got to thank Shannon Knapp. We got to thank Shannon Knapp. You know, the woman behind it there for giving us this platform to showcase our talent on.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more there. Well, listen, Charmaine, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It was a pleasure to have you. We look forward to seeing a great fight from you next weekend, as well as we do from all of the ladies stepping in the cage. Just happy to have Invicta back, and happy to see a lot of great young fighters be a part of that, such as yourself and such as many of the other ladies that we've talked to tonight. So thank you so much for joining us, Charmaine, and we'll look forward to hearing some great things from you down the line.
Awesome. Thank you guys again for having me.
You got it. You have a great night.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Charmaine, not so sweet tweet. I think that when she was born, I think that not so sweet tweet was only destiny that it was going to find her one of these days. So we just want to extend a very special thank you to Shannon Knapp, Delaney Owen, Michelle Watterson, and Charmaine Tweet for being part of the show tonight. Enjoyed having each one of our guests on the show and talking Invicta all night. Before we get out of here, though, do want to just run down this fight card one more time in its entirety. You know, at 115 pounds, opening up the night is Delaney Owen versus J.J. Aldrich. Next, at the Atom Weights, 105, Jody Esquivel versus Jin Yu Frey. Another strawweight fight here, Ashley Cummins versus Alexa Grasso. And then the lightweights, 155, Charmaine Tweet versus Veronica Rothenhausler. Then we got some 135ers, Peggy Morgan versus Irene Aldana. Peggy Morgan, for people that don't remember, was part of the female tournament they had down here in Miami at CFA early last year. Of course, CFA seems to have ceased to exist since then, but CFA at one point was a pretty phenomenal pro promotion here in Florida, and Peggy Morgan was part of that women's tournament along with Ashley Evans-Smith and Fallon Fox. So Peggy Morgan's been around, fought some phenomenal opponents. So 125 pounds, Michelle Old versus Deanna Bennett. 125ers, Tara LaRosa versus Roxanne Modafferi. 135ers, Edion Gomez versus Tanya Evinger. Tanya's another tough opponent, fought for Invicta a few times. She's a tough lady. Co-main event for the 115-pound title. I can't even say it. A phenomenal fighter out of Finland. And then Stephanie Egging for the 115-pound title. I gave it a shot. I couldn't even get it. And then the main event, obviously, 105-pound title. Michelle Watterson defending her championship against Yusuko Tamada. And that is Invicta FC 8, which takes place on UFC Fight Pass next Saturday, September 6th. Make sure, like I said earlier in the show, get Fight Pass ahead of time. Get it set up so that it's good to go. You don't have any kinks. Get all that stuff worked out because you're not going to want to miss any of these fights. And I urge people to have it set up for that first fight of the night. That is the most exciting fight to me, is knowing Delaney. I'm looking forward to seeing her finally make that Invicta debut. So that's Invicta FC 8. And again, thank you to our guests. Thank you, Kari, for being part of the show. Spencer, as always, thank you for being here with me, man. I love doing this stuff with you. And if you guys don't got anything else, next week we will be talking a lot of World Class Fight League 10, as that fight takes place actually next weekend too, September 6th it takes place. So I'll be out there covering that as the World Class Fight League is just about the cream of the crop, one of the best AMI promotions here in the state. And have yet to miss one of their shows, and I don't plan on doing it as long as I live. So that is, we'll be talking that a lot next week, as well as some other stuff. So with that said, I think that's about a wrap. You guys got anything before we get out of here?
That's about it.
Nope, just thanks for having me on. This show was kick-ass. So glad you all let me be a part of it. I appreciate it so much. You guys are amazing.
Right on. Spencer, you got anything?
That's all, Matthew. It was a great show. I think I'm actually going to go back and re-listen to it myself. Of course, you can find all of our past shows on MMAMadhouse.com, the archives. So make sure if you see a fighter that we interviewed and you really wanted to hear it but you missed it, go back and listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, this has been Cage Zombies Radio. Thank you again to all of our guests. We will talk to you guys next week. Follow us on Facebook at Cage Zombies Radio. We'll talk to you guys soon. All right, take it easy. Thank you.
Back. 7. Watch me walk, watch me walk, watch me walk like a zombie. Watch me walk, watch me walk, watch me walk, we walk, walk, walk.
Thank you.